Call from the Doll on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Yes, John, very good morning to you and thanks for joining me again this week. Now, we will start with, I suppose, the political implications of a sporting draw. This draw was made last night. This is the Nations League. Ireland are to kick off their Nations League campaign in Kosovo before two games against Israel in a week. And the reports this morning of the draw last night had FAI officials and some government officials with their heads in their hands when Israel came out of the pot. It's hard to blame them, isn't it?
It is. This one is. It's a mess. It's most unfortunate. It's just stuffed with irony. We're back again at the old one about, you know, sport and politics. And, you know, sport is about politics. I mean, this idea of keeping party politics out of sport, of course. For example, Kerry has always been good at that. I knew nothing about Kerry when I was working for the Kerry Man until I covered the GAA County Board convention. And there you'd see much the same people, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Labour, coming in, but they leave their party politics at the door. That's fine. But politics is all through sport. It's impossible to separate them. I mean, the FAI, for example, have submitted applications to have Israel expelled from the global soccer fraternity. Now they must go and play them. Now that the FAI issued an immediate statement, very prompt, suggesting they feared this was going to happen. It was flagged as a real possibility anyway. But, you know, there is a basic tenet in sport. You must fulfill your fixtures. If you don't, you're out yourself. And what does that achieve? So this one is very tricky. It's tricky from a security point of view. It's very tricky from, you know, the politics of it are so heavily loaded. You know, I mean, for a quiet life, it is most unfortunate. It's going to call for some very creative thinking to manage, to make a point, to manage. But I think anybody as you and I, as lifelong supporters and players and whatever else engaged in sport, know that you must fulfill your fixtures.
Yeah, and that's all part of it. You only have to look at the Maccabi Tel Aviv, Aston Villa, Champions League Fiore in Birmingham, the trouble the year previously in the Netherlands, and all of that sort of thing for the vexed nature. And you bring it then, and that's England and Israel, which are allies ostensibly. You bring it to Ireland and Eurovision and many politicians here in this country and what they've said about Israel and genocide. It's a whole other level. Am I too cynical and world weary to be already weary of this, John? Will it make any difference, or are we going to be caught up in hours upon hours of dull debate about this one? I know it's an important issue, but it's going to be a right mess.
I do fear there are going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of competitive indignation here, and some of the noisier ones are the ones that, you know, they're the last people you're going to meet at a hurling match or a soccer match or at the dog track, you know, but they're going to be spouting big opinions about sport and right and wrong. So yes, I'm already weary, and it hasn't even started. But I don't know. We need some kind of creative thinking where we can make a point. But you're right. Look, it is very poisonous because, you know, going right back to Brian Lenihan Sr. when he was Minister for Foreign Affairs, you know, going back 40 years, Ireland has been leaning very heavily towards supporting the plight of the Palestinian people, empathizing with them, trying to help them. Our name is Mud in Tel Aviv. I've been on various trips to Israel. It's one of the few places on the globe where the tricolor and the shamrock are not a good calling card.
Yeah, and that will be played out over the next while. Okay, what played out in the Dáil this week, John, was a number of things all related to the housing crisis. There was the short-term letting situation and this move, first of all, before we talk about the Rental Tenancies Bill, the both issues, of course, are connected and related.
They are,
but the short-term tenancies issue in relation to registration and planning still up in the air. But one thing that was changed was this idea that anywhere with 10,000 or more people, any town would suffer severe restrictions on holiday lets. Moved to 20,000. Lots of credit being claimed, nonetheless, by Kerry politicians here relation to this. But where has this one landed to your mind?
Well, to my mind, this one. I mean, to go back to the basic of this, this thing is I call it the classic Kerry dilemma, because the importance of tourism to Kerry, the number of jobs and livelihoods associated with not just direct jobs with people who do taxiing, hackneying, catering of one kind or another, fellows who run burger shops and, you know, so on and so on. It's all very, very significant. The idea that you have to have, against that, there's even within that, that there's a problem. You also need social and affordable housing for people to work in the tourism sector, which is so significant to Kerry. So, and we find one sort of screaming net result of this is the idea that you have to have planning permission to do short-term Airbnb-style letting. And the threshold was to be 10,000, which would have affected both, in practical terms, both Tralee and Killarney. Population of 26,000 in Tralee, 14,000, well, on paper, but I mean, I think that's a rather fortunate borough boundary draw in the case of Killarney. But anyway, net result, if with this 20,000 threshold, Killarney is home free, but Tralee is still in the net. So now, as you say, how there will be some form of Bord Fáilte register and then the application for planning permission for to have this. So the detail is still, much of the detail is still yet to come. But of course, Michael Healy-Ray was in the spotlight immediately. In fairness to him, he did put his head above the parapet, you know, going back probably the guts of 12 months ago, and he's been consistent on this, but he's not the only politician. Norma Foley has been busy behind the scenes. Every Kerry politician knows this is a big one, this is a tricky one, and I'm confident that all of them, particularly all the Kerry TDs, Michael Cahill, Pat Daly, the others have engaged in the Danny Healy-Ray, of course, as well. But they are all seized of this, and they know that it's as much as their seat is worth, how this one plays out. But finally, the way the thing has fallen, Jerry, is that it's tilted more towards the commercial interests of the tourism sector instead of the social and affordable housing, you know.
Yeah, and rental side of it. And what about that point? And that point was made in this programme yesterday, John, by Pat Daly. He's the only opposition politician in the Dáil from Kerry. And he was making a point, and he talked about Killarney. And he said, look, that on paper, 10,000, Killarney escapes the net such as it is. We still don't know what the planning implications are, but ostensibly escapes the net. But he said, that's not, to his mind, it's not good news for Killarney. It might suit business interests, but he said, there are communities in Killarney, and people here are from, you have a right to have a neighbour. There are old housing estates in the town where people don't have neighbours anymore because they're bought for investment purposes. And young couples and people looking to rent, people working in the very hospitality that's being protected, can't live in the town. So it's an incredible, incredible bind. And he's saying, it sounds like good news, but what about the housing? What about the rental? What about the need for people to live somewhere?
As somebody who spent a shameful length of time when I look back on in the feckless years in rented flats here there, including Killarney, by the way. I would not fancy my job trying to get a flat in Killarney today if I was moving down there for work or whatever, which I did many years ago. I went to Killarney to work for the Kerryman. So, yeah, I mean, Pat Daly's point is well made, and it does feed into to the other thing which happened this week, the tenancies bill changes.
The rental tenancies bill. Well, I tell you, we're going to get into the detail on that, John, in a couple of minutes. If anyone's got a view on what the points we're making, we want to hear from you on the show. We'll have more on Call from the Doll with John Downing after we take these. No, John, the residential tenancies bill, there was a five-hour debate. The opposition were accusing the government of guillotining this and ramming it through. The main point of opposition from opposition parties on this was that, 6 years security of tenure, but why are you allowing landlords to set the market rate when a new tenancy happens? This will actually lead to rents going up. On the other hand, you have to look, I suppose, at the Minister for Housing. Did the government try and spit the baby on this one? Like, we have to give landlords something to keep them in the game if we're going to tie up their properties for 6 years. Is that what the attempt was?
I think so. I mean, the Taoiseach was pretty, forthright and frank about this. He said, look, in the end, a big part of what we're trying to do here, obviously they argue they're trying to be fair to both sides, as you say, but the thing is we need to attract investors. The sort of baseline government argument is, look, we're producing 30,000 new homes plus per year. We need to get to nearer 60. To do that, we need something like 20 billion, major investment in the very near future. To do that, we need to attract investors. So, and it is all, meanwhile, we have this completely terrible bind of unacceptably high rates of homelessness, people depending on emergency accommodation. We have unacceptably high rents, which mean people can't save to buy their own home. And then we have the real situation where everything is just too dear. It's completely unaffordable to try to buy your own home. So certainly the mass ranks of the opposition, Sinn Féin leading the charge, Labour, Social Democrats, People Before Profit, and various independents saying, look, this is all into the hands of landlords, vulture funds. If you get a 6 month tenancy theoretically from the 1st of March. By the way, the 1st of March is barely a fortnight away. You can get a 6 year tenancy. But in the meantime, if you haven't got that, there is an entitlement of landlords going into new situations to set the rate at market values. Opposition saying, look, this will bring everything from an average of between 1,500 average rent of a half decent flat or house. You're talking 1,500 to 2,000 per month in most centres. Well, all that's going to happen here is that rents are going to go up. There's certainly a logic there. The government is saying against that, you're going to give people security of tenure. You're going to give them 6 months, 6 year tenancies. And you're going to give a get out clause for the smaller landlords who have three properties or less. It is quite a mess because in the midst of all this, the taxpayer money that could go into solving the longer term problem of providing more houses and trying to put some stability and order into the purchase market, a lot of that money is actually going on rent subsidies, schemes like the HAP to help people try and meet their rents. So it really is the classic vicious circle. It's like the old days where Ireland was so overborrowed that just servicing the interest on that was retarding, you know, efforts to try to get out of that bind. So this is going to stay with us. And in fairness to government, there are various efforts to remedy it, bring their own basket of problems.
Yeah, they certainly do. That's for sure. The vote was carried. We'll see where it goes from there. A listener says, can John tell us regarding the retaining of Larry Moran as board, be a chairman, the motion went for it all. How did the Kerry TDs vote? Well, I can tell you that Michael Healy Ray voted in favour. This is the effectively they turned it into a vote of confidence in Larry Moran. Michael Healy Ray voted in favour. Michael Cahill, Norma Foley. No Danny Healy Ray on the vote on that night. I don't know if he had a pair or what the situation was. Pat Daly obviously voting Neil. With that in mind as well, John, we'll talk about that in a moment, but first of all, on attendances, but Danny Healy Ray came on this programme and said, look, I am not happy with this. I'm not happy with the government telling anyone what they can do with their own private property. And he, for the first time, he voted against the government. Does it make any difference? Will it have any impact, or what are we to learn from that?
Well, I think we're going to see things like that on and off. I think it's a kind of a certain element of play in the system that life will go on. The short answer is right now it doesn't. However, if there's a pattern, yeah, there would have to be, because why should, for example, Michael Cahill as a Fianna Fáil backbencher fall into line on less palatable topics, you know, if that's going to be allowed continue? But for now, yeah, not much there.
And from that, then you're talking about the Larry Moran issue. This was a real source of contention between Michael Healy Ray and Sinn Féin last week, the vote playing out there. So no love lost there continues. Sinn Féin trying to put pressure, I'd imagine, on the Healy Rays on what would be an uncomfortable vote for them.
Yeah, it is a tilt. And I think Michael Healy Ray, very strong, and very strong in his criticisms of the IFA. Remember, if you go back a couple of weeks, Michael Healy Ray was bound for Athlone and perhaps on the brink of exiting his junior ministry and government because of the Mercosur, because of Ireland's potential support for Mercosur. Of course, the government changed the view and voted against Mercosur. But so where Michael was with the IFA and indeed Sinn Féin were going in the same direction, now he has reorientated himself and been heavily critical of both the IFA and Sinn Féin. The IFA are in difficulty here on this Larry Moran issue.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, John. The vote has failed. They're still protesting. Like, how do they end this now? What's the exit strategy?
It's a tricky one. All of the farm organizations, of which there are, last time I counted, there were 8, which is of itself a bit of a mess, but were kind of with the IFA on this, but some more than others. The IFA are very high and very visible on a rock here, and they're very, there is little left in it for them, I would suggest. There had been an offer of sort of round table talks where they'd say, look, can we look at other things that could be done for farmers or something? It would seem the logical thing to do would be to try and take that and, you know, move and suspend actions for them. But look, these are big decisions for the IFA. They had quite a win on the Mercosur issue, on changing government policy. But this one is a tricky one for them at the moment.
Yeah, so it is. John, apologies to Danny Hillway. Danny Hillway did actually vote on the Moran, and he voted no on the Moran. So he voted with the opposition on both the Residential Tenancies Bill and also on the Larry Moran motion of conference, to call it that. So he sided with that. That's two votes in a week. Yeah. I wasn't aware of that. Apologies for, I just missed his name here in the list in front of me.
Well, yeah, I know it's pretty. I have been that soldier so many times, going through lists and trying to discern what, and it can be even more complicated when there are various
Again, the question goes though: what if any implications are? Like, he's not a backbencher; he doesn't lose the party whip. He's still part of the deal to keep the coalition together. But this is the first time, or certainly the first time he's voted twice against the government on two separate issues in the Dáil.
That I've noticed. Well, if this pattern continues, it will become an issue. There is no doubt. You know, I mean,
that's the question arises of the long-term impact of that, I suppose, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
And if it comes down to a more important issue, not that these issues weren't important as well, then there could be issues there for that agreement.
Certainly. And his association with it, specifically,
Okay. John, brilliant stuff. Thanks a million, as always, for the call from the Dáil. John Downing with the call from the Dáil. Talked to us there about the week and the votes and those various votes that went that way. And just to clarify that again, Danny Healyway did vote on the Larry Moran motion. This is the Board Bia motion, private members bill by Sinn Féin. He voted with the opposition, effectively trying to remove Larry Moran as Board Bia head because of the Brazilian beef and the ongoing protest in the IFA, whereas Minister Michael Healyway voted with the government.